Hi, everybody. This is Tyla and Douglas. And like many of you around the world, we are in our home. We are not going anywhere. And this is Sunday. So today we wanted to open up our listeners, a little conversation that we've been having over the last few days. Now, we are going to get into some esoteric matters, spiritual matters. We're not going to hold back. If this isn't your cup of tea, just drop out now because we have plenty in our audience that do like to hear about these matters. So, ready to go, Douglas? I got some questions here for you.
Yes.
All right. Now, I've heard this story from Douglas for as long as I've known him, and it always stays the same. And I've done my research, and I can't find the evidence of this, but I can tell you from listening to him, his story has always stayed the same. And this has to do about the vision of Fatima. Now, I don't want to take away from your story. Tell me the story like you were telling it to me for the first time.
Okay, well, it is indicative of what we're going through now. And as you remember, Tyla, not long ago we wrote, probably a couple years ago, time doesn't mean much to me, but we wrote an article about creating your own ark. And one of the reasons we did that is we were seeing that the flood of globalism, which was taking over America and was about to do in America if Hillary Clinton was elected, we basically said it's about consciousness. And so we tried to prepare people by showing them that some of the great spiritual teachers tell us that if 48 people on the face of the earth are conscious of what is truly happening, and they are working with the hierarchical beings that penetrate and interpenetrate this realm consciously, then that will keep the world together. So when all else looks as if it's another Noah's flood, or it's another mini ice age, or it's another cataclysm, or now we're being faced with a globalist attack against our own economy, which is the economy of the world, because America is the economy of the world, China had become our adversary in that regard and basically was completing their mission, which was to take over all manufacturing and control, particularly of all industry, so that they could have technology transfer theft that would be completely accepted. So it wouldn't even be considered intellectual property theft. So we sent all of our best stuff to China to make it for us, and then they sent back garbage to us.
We'll get to the vision.
Hang on a second. And so what we're looking at now is that this is really a mini version of what will happen in the far distant future as what is called the apocalypse in St. John the Divine's vision of Revelation. That vision is the same vision everyone has. And we wrote that in the Gospel of Sophia so that you could understand those images and what they mean and how they actually do apply in our time, because we are seeing a mini version of the end of times right now. Today, particularly, there's a hush over the world that has never happened in human history, and that's because of our ability to communicate with everyone all at once, and because America leads the world, and because Trump is leading America like no one ever has. It's all focused. So we're in our house, exactly as the letter that was a secret letter given to the Pope from Our Lady of Fatima. I think you'll all remember that letter was read by the Pope on a certain date, and it predicted to the Pope that he would be shot, John Paul II. And remember when John Paul II was shot, he literally took the hand of the person who had the gun, pulled it close to him so that the bullet wouldn't hurt anyone else. He knew he couldn't stop that fate. And that in that letter, told to me by someone who was a very dear friend of Pope John Paul II, and I don't mean Michael McKibben, who knew the Pope before he was the Pope. Michael McKibben knew him in Poland. But my friend was so close that this person went with a group of people for the Fatima Festival, when in fact they celebrated what was actually in this letter, the opening of this letter. And so very few people ever heard the content of it, but there were many rumors. And this is what the rumors will tell you. They're going to describe to you exactly as I started to describe to you a moment ago. We're in our house. We are we're told not to let anyone in. We're told that there's an evil outside of our house that is coming to get us. We're told that we need to be prepared to literally be knocked to the ground. In other words, your job may be completely ended. Your business may be ended. You have to now wonder whether or not the entire collapse of the U.S. economy, which would be the collapse of the global economy, is going to happen, and it's going to happen right now. Never in history have we seen these unprecedented times, except if you had read the content of this letter or had heard the content of this letter, because in this letter it said that in 1996 there would be 3 days when the sun would blink out. It would simply go dark. During that time, people would fall to the ground. And some people would be able to get up and move around because they are filled with animal instincts. And they would be very dangerous people. So when the other people, the good people, which I'll describe in a minute, when they do get up, they're to lock their doors and not let anyone in, no matter what, even if it is your mother, it says, even if it is your mother, even if it is your family, do not let them into your house. And go to your altar where you have your hand-dipped beeswax blessed candles burning, because that will be the only fire that will burn anywhere on the face of the earth. Because when the sun blinks out, all that we know will basically come to a standstill. And no gunpowder will work, so therefore no bullet will fire. No electricity will work. Generators won't work. Nothing mechanical will work. And no chemical reactions that we standardly use in our man-made products will work.
And that's the story I've heard from you for many years, and I've taken it at face value. But then when we began to see what was going on with this coronavirus stuff all over the world and people in their homes, I began to reflect back on that portion of the letter that you read. And then I thought about this sun blinking out, that maybe it wasn't the literal sun, although it could very well be, as you know. But maybe it was the internet blinking out. And so that's why we felt like we wanted to leave you with this message for the chance that in all of this, the internet goes out, that we need at least 48 of you out there not being fearful of it and holding the light.
And it literally is that matrix of consciousness that holds the world together, whether you know it or not, because it's that consciousness that feeds the hierarchical beings that have brought all of this into existence, because we didn't, and it didn't happen by accident. And whether, you know, even a materialistic secular scientist will tell you that there is conscious intent in the universe. There, obviously. Who is the consciousness? Nobody knows.
We know that the people that would have the beeswax candles in their homes are fully awake to know the power of what they would be doing.
And I used to make beeswax candles, and in most Catholic churches they are beeswax candles, and sometimes they are hand-dipped. Certainly the one that is the candle that stays lit in the Catholic Church at all times, day and night, or at least used to. They've thrown out all their rituals in many cases. But you could always go to the church to relight your fire, because that was just like in the ancient times for the temples of Hestia, who kept the hearth fire always going, which the hearth is the heart. The hearth has the word earth in it. The hearth in Hestia is the primal goddess, and it is fire that they are making reference to. But fire, you won't be able to strike a match because it's a chemical reaction.
Well, that's if the letter is written in a way that would actually occur, because we can also look at things metaphorically and symbolically. Maybe what it is that we all need, those of us here who are listening to this that are conscious, to light a candle at this particular time with the understanding that you are the light of the world that's keeping us together until this passes.
That's exactly the point. It is consciousness. So if you are conscious of some of the things that we tell you so that you have the truth, so that you can say, oh, I'm not worried, this is the truth. Of course, we know the direction that humanity is going, unfortunately. One third will make it to their next stage of development. One third will be in the middle, and one third absolutely won't. We're fighting over that middle third, you know, those who are animals and those who are trying to be angels are fighting over them. And that's what's going on right now. We see this so profoundly right now because everyone is in absolute abject fear. Now, they should not be. Well, let's go back to the story. Let's go back to the letter. I'll tell you why you shouldn't be in fear in a minute. The letter states that you need to have just enough water, because for some in some cases, and this is bizarre because we had recently come across some writings of some of the most profound spiritual thinkers who stated that in 3101 BC, all of humanity fell to the ground, and some of them got up, and most of them didn't.
And this was Steiner who wrote about it.
Right, Rudolf Steiner. But then what happened was the ones who got up were so enlightened, they began the megalithic age all over the earth, all at once. And what did they do? They built megalithic structures based upon cosmic principles that demonstrated that they knew the alignment of the spring equinox with the precession of the equinoxes and things like this, very cosmic things, looking at the stars, timing, rotation of the earth, the axis of the earth. All this is imprinted into the megalithic structures. So what's going to happen is when these floods of consciousness come, some will become animalistic, and they'll be roaming. In this letter, it says they will be roaming the earth, trying to take everything because they believe the end has come. And they will have gone insane. And the reason they will have gone insane is because they did the following. This letter explicitly states to the faithful. And by the way, the prayers of the faithful stopped this happening in 1996. And then I understood, excuse me, I may have those dates wrong. There were two times.
I thought it was 1994. I don't know why.
I'm sorry. There's two dates. I'm not going to state what year.
Okay.
There were two dates given. Both of those dates were mitigated by the prayers of the faithful. And in this letter, it tells you exactly what to pray for and that you must pray the rosary every day. With, you know, this is Catholic, right? And all these different things you can do to help the world, which is all simply development of consciousness, right? And faith in the divine and communion with the spiritual beings that call them whatever you want, whatever faith you have. Call them consciousness in any name you want. It doesn't matter. We can go into all of that. It doesn't matter what you call them. The point is that are you evolving to your higher consciousness, your higher self? Call it, there's many names for it. Manasic consciousness, it's called Atman Buddha and Manas, or it's called spirit, self, life, spirit, spirit. Many, many, many names. There's three parts to your spirit. That's what you're supposed to be developing right now, today, March 22nd. In the sky, as I told you, this would be months and months and months ago, first time Betsy asked, Thomas,
I'm Tyla now.
Betsy asked Thomas. I talked about this, and now we're talking about it as Tyla and Douglas, because why?
It's time for us to step over the threshold, because we've always been here for our spiritual teachings, but we've discovered that people were just not awake. We were shocked to see how many people couldn't detect false flags out in the internet. And so that's when we put aside the spiritual writings and decided to go into this geopolitical realm to see what we could do to help. And what we've done is we've been walking you step by step, headline by headline, and video by video, to a greater understanding of what the conflict in the world is about. Sorry to take that away from you.
No, that's true. It's exactly right, Tyla. And we know who we're talking to because they respond to us. And so we know the information we're giving out feeds all kinds of other people. And that is what our mission is to give out what we already know ahead of time. Now, for instance, astrology, okay, some people turn the radio off. Okay, immediately. Stop the tape. Wrong. Look in the sky, folks. I'm telling you, Mars is conjunct Pluto today. And that's not a good thing, but it could be a good thing for those who can withstand the earthquake. So we're in an earthquake. I predicted we would be on this day in one of the worst moments that the United States has been in. Will it be bad for Trump? It is an attack against Trump. It is an attack against Trump. It has nothing to do with this coronavirus. This coronavirus is another weak attempt to try to experiment with man-made viruses. And we have the history of that, and we've shown you where it all came from. So don't worry about that. Every 2 years, they release these viruses, but they release them in different countries So they can blame them on those countries. And now, let's remember H1N1 started in southern China. We know that SARS started in southern China, Hubei. We know that SARS-2. So SARS-1, SARS-2, and H1N1, one of the worst viruses we've had, all started in China. Why? Not because the Chinese did it. That's so silly. Why would they do that? They have other ways to kill their population. They just say, one child. And if you have a second, you must kill them. That's China. I say do no business with China. I say China is as evil as they can be, as long as they're a totalitarian communist government. Now using, unfortunately, basically the wireless digital age and all technology to control their people in the most totalitarian way. So now that they're trying to bring that to America, and had Trump not stopped China, both with installing 5G here in America, it would already be installed if Qualcomm and Broadcom had got the contract. Broadcom was Hillary Clinton actually being, it was Chinese. So it would already be in place now, okay? We have a bunch of 5G in place, but they can turn it up. Anyone who can control it can turn it up to 60 gigahertz, which basically stops the uptake of oxygen. That is the flood. Rudolf Steiner said that this past age, Atlantis, was taken by water. The age before that, Lemuria, was taken by fire. This age will be taken by air. And what goes through the air? Electromagnetic frequencies. And whether you like it or not, whether anybody likes it or not, if you're being bombarded with electromagnetic frequency, which you are, hundreds of billions in America running through my body right now, except that they can't get through my house because we built an ark and we've protected it in all the ways that we've told you. So if you have an ark, that is going to protect you during the time that this mini version of the end of this age that we're in, we're getting a mini version of it. So you are being attacked by the air. In other words, by electronics and all that we do with everything that comes into the media, that's the air.
Wireless.
Mm-hmm. All wireless, mm-hmm. All transmissions, all radio, all television, all phones, all that is all nonsense. If you don't thank the beings who die into those devices for you so that you have a consciousness that is beyond what you deserve, the ability to observe what's going on throughout the whole world, the ability to ask a question of Google and have what seems to be more access than the Library of Consciousness instantaneously without your effort. All this is without your effort. So what happens to your effort? You become paralyzed. Well, what did Noah do? As I just said, Lemuria was taken by fire, Atlantis by water, and Noah is a picture of Manu and the holy rishis who came off of Atlantis in their ark. Is that literal ark? Well, no, not really.
Yes.
But there were other times that it was literal, but that particular time was a migration.
Yeah, because we remember that as we evolve, the experiences that we have become more sublime. They, like, war was once on a battlefield with blood and war machines. It was very physical. And then it became warfare in cyberspace. You can't see it. And now it's an information war. But we're still fighting this evil.
Oh, the evil is so pervasive, Tyla, just as you said, that the electromagnetic frequencies going through you, and now microwave frequencies, and now gigahertz or millivave frequencies, which are into the gigahertz, those are cooking you from the inside out. Okay? So if you haven't protected yourself in the ways that we've told you about, then look it up. We've told you how to do it. I'm not going to go into that now. But if you had listened to us, we told you this was going to happen. We told you the whole thing was going to happen. We've described it. We actually predicted exactly the signs that you would see, because it's simple. We told you, when Trump starts to take out the U.S. Fed, because they had bought 1/3 of their assets in the New York Stock Exchange, will cause the stock exchange to go up and down and up and down with high-frequency traders, because they will take their money out to lure the common people into thinking, oh my heavens, if I put my money in now, it could gain 1,000 points by tomorrow, and then I could take it out the next day. In other words, they lured you in by gambling. This is propaganda, okay? Now, as I was saying before, electromagnetic frequencies make everybody sick unless you've protected yourself and created an ark around yourself and you're ready for the flood in the air of the attack upon your human consciousness. So let's look at Noah, who we call Manu from Atlantis, and his wife and his family and his sons and the holy rishis. What is that? Well, we've told you the stories, and I'm writing right now about the migrations, and soon we'll have a paper out on this, an article. But the point is, we've already written about this and told you what you need to do. It's very simple. You need to look in the sky for the signs. And just like God came to Noah and said, build the ark, nobody else built the ark because their will was paralyzed because they were involved in too much sex, too much drugs, too much food, and too much manipulation of the outside world and getting caught in it. Oh,
material
does that describe?
Distractions. Well, that's Ahriman.
Material those distraction.
That's Ahriman that we see all around us. But we know that there are at least 48 of you out there who have evolved beyond that.
So there were other Noahs, but Noah and his wife and his children built the ark with certain specifications so that it wouldn't, so that it was spiritual. It's the specifications of the human spiritual body. And what did Noah take unto the ark? He took the head of Adam, which had the three seeds from the fruit of the tree of life and the tree of knowledge that had wound together by the time his son Seth had returned to the Garden of Paradise. And Seth was given three seeds from the fruit of the merging of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. Those three seeds were put into the mouth of Adam. They kept his head, and it glowed as the Holy Grail. Not only that, they called it the shofar. And they also say they had shofars. And then they describe the shofars as stones, in some cases. In the Zohar, you can read this, they describe these stones that were given to Adam, given to him by Zadkiel, the archangel, as a reminder of paradise. And these Zohar stones, Abraham wore one around his neck, and everyone who saw it, you know, was completely amazed. It was literally the Holy Grail of the Hebrew people. But anyway, these stones were in the ark. And the stones gave light at night and warmth and nourishment in the day, just exactly as the Holy Grail does. So Adam's head or the Zohar, doesn't matter. You need to have in your protected ark, built with your family, which is your heart, of course, built with your family, some sacred things that you know are the Holy Grail. So have you been working on finding your Holy Grail, which is what? Your spirit, your higher self. And the grail is what holds it. That's your efforts, and it's in your heart. And if you can hold the efforts of your spirit in your heart, then no amount of darkening, whether it be the sun blinking out for 3 days, which was told in the letter of Fatima, the secret letter of Fatima, and also there's advice there we'll talk about here in a minute, but or what we've been told by all the great stories. There's always a conflagration. There's always a flood, or there's a fire, or there's the raining down from heaven on Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot and his wife and his family, and it's the same story, okay? It's always the same story. Because why? We have the same challenges all the time. Are you going to be an angel, or are you going to be an animal? Are you going to serve higher purposes and the higher virtues and develop your consciousness away from sense-bound thinking? Or are you going to follow sense-bound thinking and devolve through the seven deadly sins into what caused the end of Sodom and Gomorrah, the end of all the people around Noah, the end of many civilizations, and perhaps 2/3 of humanity who did not stand up after the flood of, I would call it, consciousness in 3101 BC. But when those guys stood up and those gals stood up, they became the megalithic builders. We still don't know how they built the megalithic structures. And I could go into the fact that they all, if you look at the star clusters that they represent on the Earth, if you look at the star clusters in the sky, when they match where those star clusters on the Earth that were built into the megalithic structures of almost all of them, all the pyramid cities, you know, there's about 20 pyramid cities, whether people know it or not. I'm not going to go into that. Or Angkor Wat, or whatever you want to look at. It doesn't matter. If you take a gigantic stone structure and simply look at it long enough, you'll see a star cluster. spin it back in time, and what is this time capsule trying to tell us? Not only that they had wisdom of the stars and of the cosmos and their place in the cosmos, which we don't seem to have today. We have theories that are so silly that no one can believe them. The Big Bang, really the Big Bang. Anyway, so that's devolving consciousness outside of the Ark. If you're on the Ark, you know the Big Bang can't exist because you could use simple logic to deduct that isn't the way that it works. The universe is a conscious being in its unity and in its separate parts, whether you want to call it, in a modern term, a 3D holographic image of the universe. Each of us human beings are evolving into that, or whatever you want to call it, doesn't really matter. Everybody knows that your heart is evolving into the divine in the cosmos. And of course, you look in the sky and you'll see the signs. If you weren't paying any attention to the night sky, what are you paying too much attention to the daytime desires that you have? Look in the night sky. You would have seen at one point a fantastic moon reaction. So you get, sickle moons right next to Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, the brightest stars in the sky. They're called wandering stars. So they always talk in any spiritual story that at the moment of the big spiritual transformation, the shift, as so many people call it today, they would call it, some call it the apocalypse, because for them it's the ending, because they don't have an ark and they can't swim very well. So they didn't look in the sky. But if you looked in the sky right now, you'd still see Saturn and Jupiter and Mars.
I know that we make it out. I have no fear. And I don't like telling my personal story, but the audience is pretty well refined now that I don't feel like I'm blasting everything out on YouTube. But back in 1984, I was with a prayer group and just, going to regular prayer group. It was no big deal. And in the middle of that, had an experience of enlightenment. I was just flooded with love and light. It was just unbelievable. I didn't know what to make of it. And you really can't, because what's happening is that you're receiving this enormous amount of information, but you may not have the capacities yet to understand what you've been given. But what I did know is that there was something far beyond the material world, and that my job was going to be to go find it. Now, this was before I had found anthroposophy, so I hadn't read about this before. And there were people that are still with me in my life, Judy is one, who asked me immediately after the experience, well, what was it? And I said, well, it was like that story in the Bible when Saul has a conversion to Paul. That's what it was like. And I held that with me, trying to find the answers. And it's taken decades to unpack this enormous thought that came to me. And I think I've saved it for this day, this time, this March 22nd, 2020, to let you know that we will make it. We are going to get out of this. And the world is going to be so amazing. But I need 48 of you out there holding the flame with consciousness that we all get out together.
Precisely. And that's in the etheric realm, which you had a vision of. And we've talked about this before in the Gospel of Sophia. And Tyler's initiation at that point, then just like Paul, who became Saul, he had to go to Ananias, and he was in fact blind. And at first he couldn't hear because the thunder and the voice that spoke to Paul when he was knocked from his horse on outside of Damascus did say, he recognized Christ. Paul recognized Christ and became Saul after Ananias taught him basically nothing more than what he had just seen. Because if you truly see into the etheric, as Tyler has, then you will have a vision of Christ. And that will basically, time doesn't exist in that realm.
And many people are having the experience. Steiner wrote about this. He said that it would happen more and more in the 30s and 40s, but we didn't see it, and we didn't read about people having this awakening. And then as we began to work in the geopolitical realm, it became so evident that we had these Ahrimanic forces that were suppressing the evolution of humanity into becoming the beings that we are meant to be. They were actually suppressing us, so we don't know about this. And many people feel embarrassed talking about the spiritual world, and we have to let that go, because there is a world that's far greater than ours, and we can be active participants in that. I want to say, after that experience, Judy said to me, you have to write a book. And as the years went on, and I had more amazing experiences, never quite like that, but in the realm of synchronicities and flows, she would say, you have to write a book, because you have to tell people that this is here. But the ideas and the concepts were too big for me to write. So eventually, I finally realized that I needed to have a ghostwriter to help me. I needed to find somebody who had the depth and breadth of experience as an anthroposophist, perhaps someone in religion. All of those things all wrapped in one. And then I just sent that out to the universe and asked for that person to come into my life to help me be able to create the experience for you that I had for myself, at least in the realm that I could make that available to you. And so very shortly afterward, that's when I met Douglas. And when I met him, of course, I was like, oh my gosh, you know anthroposophy. And of course, as a former Jesuit and a very intelligent person, he just had everything. When we finally came together, then our first task was to create the trilogy, the Gospel of Sophia trilogy. And that is an expression that both of us have created for you. And you don't have to buy the book. This is a gift of love from us. You can get it on PDF. You can get it anyway. And we suggest that you get it. If the internet goes down, at least you've got something great to read. And then the other thing that we were told is, as we were writing these books and also helping people wake up from their ground level of what was going on politically, we needed to show you what we had done ourselves to prepare ourselves. And Douglas spoke about it. We created an ark in our living space that keeps us protected from these things. And y'all have all heard about us talk about the sigils and the different the C60 and the CBDs and all of the things that we use. But we also use consciousness.
Yes, and Tyla, you had numerous experiences just like the children who witnessed Our Lady of Fatima, because in fact you did witness the same being, which was a threefold being. They often call her the beautiful woman. In this case, they didn't call her Mother Mary. They called her Our Lady, the beautiful lady. Oftentimes, it is she who comes to be the midwife to your spiritual birth.
And when you have this experience, you don't have to get permission from Nancy Pelosi to have it. This is a spiritual experience that's given its grace. And each one of us can receive this, but it's a matter of you opening up your heart. And the other thing that was very important was we had to get our physical body ready for the continued flow of spirit through us so that we could get the information out to you. And that's the Gospel of Sophia, Volume 2. You can read about what you can do to start and, just start getting healthier.
Yes, and, it's oftentimes forgotten that the people who have these visions of Our Lady Fatima or Lourdes or anything. I've gone to all these places and check them out. And some of them are literally nature spirits, and some of them are connected directly to the being of Mother Mary that we would call through the Catholic Church version of the Mother of Jesus Christ or Jesus of Nazareth. In other words, we could go into great definition here, but the point is that these are very, very real beings. Now, the problem here is that people don't understand. Anyone who ever saw a vision like this of heaven and see the beings who live there, they also saw hell. And if they tell you a vision of heaven and they don't tell you they went to hell first, then they're not telling you the truth. And so the children, the first thing they saw from Our Lady was not, all this nice stuff. It was visions of what the hell and what is going to happen to humanity if the message that the children give out is not taken seriously by people, and if they don't change their ways, and if they don't turn to the divine, and if they don't do prayer and meditation and work on themselves.
And that is true, because before I had had my experience, I had already seen the abyss of that, of where we were headed, because I had been working with Dr. Richard Rubenstein at Florida State, and that was made very clear to me what happens when you allow this Nazi statism, communism roll over. I mean, but really understand what those choices meant for humanity.
Well, you know, like on all the good movies, especially since, you know, we did help write the Star Wars, you see it even there. Part of your future can come to your past to guide you, and that happened to you too.
But what I wanted to add was, and that's what we're seeing today. When you look around at the unprepared people, and maybe you're one of them, and you see the abyss, that's because you're seeing it now to see how deep and ugly it is. All you have to do is just turn the other way, and you'll see the light.
Now, you mentioned Nancy Pelosi, who, as soon as she became the Speaker of the House, out of her mouth, she said it dozens of times, the apocalypse has come. She thought Trump is the apocalypse. It is the end of the Democrat Party. She is correct. And it is the end of globalism as long as he stays in office. And that is correct. And so it is the end for her. But for the rest of us, as you're looking at this, this is what's happening. Humanity as a whole has been pulled across the threshold of consciousness between the physical world and the spiritual world. Now, when that happens, it's not a pleasant thing. You get to see your evil thinking, your evil feeling, your evil deeds. First thing that rises up are these three evil beings. And you must work with them until you tame them. It's like taming the dragon, Michael taming the dragon, the Archangel Michael taming the dragon, or St. George taming the dragon. It's taming your lower self. Your higher self has to tame your lower self. Why? Because in the past, if you wanted to be spiritual, you had to go through initiation. Now humanity is going through an initiation because they are pulled across the threshold because of the time we are in.
Mm-hmm.
We have been forced across the threshold because we were supposed to be conscious enough to start going there now in a small way, so that when we sleep, we understand what our dreams are. And when we're awake, we understand what our consciousness is. But we don't. Most modern Americans don't. So we're being pulled across the threshold, and it's scaring the life out of us, as it should, because everything in the physical world has to stay here. It can't go into the spiritual world. You have to have sense-free thinking. You have to think about archetypes. You have to work with virtues as consciousness and as beings. You have to seek beings and have communion with higher beings, as well as down here on Earth. That will then give you insight and wisdom to work things better here in this world and to see the true nature of things in this world. So when you're being pulled across the threshold, you're being initiated. It's terrifying. That's what we're all facing. The only thing that can help you is the centered consciousness in your heart that is Christ of the future telling you who you really are and you accepting it. And the only thing holding you back is for you to accept the grace of your future self, which is already there. So you're already perfected in one, you might call it dimension or another, or one time frame or another, because there is no time, not to the being who's created us and is evolving us into basically small gods and goddesses. And then there is no god and goddess once those merge. Basically, we're small hieroglyphic monads of the universe. We are the exact thing of the universe, each one of us, that can say, I am. Unfortunately, many people who are caught up in the physical world, their I am has been taken over by all their desires and all their lower desires and all their habits and their fears and the need to make money. So when you can become free of that, and poor people are oftentimes the most free of that, you don't have to have money to become free of that, you simply understand it to be illusion, but it's created as the shadow of the spiritual world. So we have to understand the spiritual world that creates the shadow that we live in down here. And once we do, then we realize we better build an ark and we better be ready for the flood. And it isn't just end times, it isn't just apocalypse, even though now we have a mini version of the apocalypse happening for us in consciousness. That is the reason that Tyler came up with this idea today to talk about what I so often have referred to as, you know, when 48 people work together and pray together on the earth, no matter where you are, whether you're asleep or awake, it goes into the etheric realm and you are part of this ark. And oftentimes it's four groups of 12. They usually work in groups of 12. So if that continues to happen, the world will not be destroyed. Will there be a depression? No, not for those who are conscious. If you have your Holy Grail, if you have your... The head of Adam is a reference to your own understanding of the wisdom of your ancestry, where you came from, where you are, and where you're going. It's an image of cosmology. It's what led them on the ark. It gave them everything they needed: light, warmth, food, nourishment, water. It fed the animals who only come at night. It fed the animals who only come out in day, and it knew the difference. And it saved Noah and his family and the holy rishis, according to the Hindu version of it.
My version is that it was hemp seed in there. Well, and they were making CBD oil.
They undoubtedly would be, because the ancient migrations used, of course.
Well, you're going to talk about that when you do your report on Scythianus, right?
Yes, yes. The most ancient cultivated plant is hemp and cannabis plants. And they were used for animals and humans from the beginning of civilization, which is then the earmark of what was the migration off of Atlantis by Manu, or we call him Noah, who did get on a boat and cross the waters from Atlantis to Ireland, where they stayed. And then they went from Ireland to the mainland of Europe, and they didn't take a boat further, but they went to Central Asia. And this is now proven, these ideas of theosophists and anthroposophists, particularly Rudolf Steiner, who's the most clear, all by DNA studies, by studying the haplogroups of every blood test and DNA test that they've done, which they basically figured out archaeomythology is true by DNA. And so we now know this, but nobody has really written much about the synthesis of this in modern times, and that's what this new book that we're putting out is going to be, called Scythianus, the Hidden Master. And so basically Scythianus was also a Noah. But we're all Noahs, and we're all migrating. We're migrating into the spiritual world. And we imagine it being up. So if you want to imagine an airship and rising up like a balloon or a bubble, that is somewhat like, it's an analogy that is somewhat like the soul experience. And so when we look at the letter of Fatima, it also states the following. And this is very strange, thinking that this letter was dictated to these children. And then they wrote about the following, that this one-third of humanity that will be outside of our ark, our homes, that will be roaming around like animals, will go crazy because they will be looking into the sky. And in the sky will be what looks to be tornadoes of rainbow colors, not terribly bright, much like described like the aurora borealis. And if you stare at them, what you're actually staring at will destroy you.
Well, that's why I said that sounded like the LGBTQ movement in its extreme form. You look out the window, you see rainbow colors, and you know.
As well as viruses of every color coming after you like a tornado. And if it isn't this one, the coronavirus 19, which is really SARS-2, it will be next year's.
Now, in wrapping up, can you just speak about this energy that is going to be with us through December 31st, 2020?
Yes. In the initiation of Christian Rosenkreutz, he looks in the sky before he enters this initiation building, and he sees these two planets that have come together. Those two planets are the same planets that came together, two of the brightest stars in the sky, that were called the Star of Bethlehem that they followed. So, in the darkest hour, the greatest light is born in Bethlehem, and it is marked by these two planets. Well, this time, we had 5 planets there. And four of them very visible. And then we had the interaction of the sun and the moon triggering it. But now we have Mars, and Mars is going to continue to move on. So the trigger is today, but the relief comes. The relief comes soon. The first relief, the first verbal relief of this 3 days of fearful darkness, where you have to light your own light and make sure you're in your own arc with your family and those you love and protect yourself from the outside world. Well, first off, this isn't the apocalypse and this isn't the flood. But there's a mini flood of the air going on, and so we can learn lessons from this.
I know you keep saying that, but we haven't been through this big one you keep talking about, and this one is big enough for us. So if you want to call this, folks out there, your apocalypse, I think that's pretty good, because I have never witnessed something, experienced something like this in my lifetime, and it's pretty major.
You're absolutely right, Betsy, in that for our lifetime, this is the big moment. 2,000 years down the line and further, there's going to then right up to literally thousands of years further. I can get into great detail.
Okay, but if I have to be prepared for that one in 1,000 years,
yeah.
I need to have my little dress rehearsal right now and
That's
see
right.
how I do it. And the way we get through this is having no fear.
Exactly.
Walking through it and having no fear. It is like, you know, I'm a Florida girl, and we've been through a lot of hurricanes when I was growing up, and it's the crazy storm, it's whipping around you, and then all of a sudden the eye of the hurricane comes over you and it is hush, and you can see the sun, and you think it's just like an everyday, but you know the backside of that storm is coming and it's going to be wicked. So it's the anticipation that creates the fear. And I'm just saying, you know how this is going to play out. We see the light. We know we're going towards the love and light of the living Jesus Christ. Have no fear.